song, can you? I tell you what a wonderful song that is. Well, tonight we'll conclude our series in Hebrews. And so we will preach tonight the remaining of the verses in Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to read tonight as a church, Hebrews chapter 11. So if you want to do that tonight, you sure can do that. You can just get in the line here and we'll read accordingly tonight. There's 40 verses. And so how many there are that want to read can read. There's the traveler. How many 40 hours I heard of driving? Wow. All right. Well, you start us out with 10 verses, if you're able. Okay.
The elders obtained a good report, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
Amen. Thank you.
Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he had prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come.
By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptian essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace.
And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dents and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name here this evening. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the reading of it. We thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing. We thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Lord, the strength, Lord, how you've taken care of us and you provided for us and preserved us. And Lord, how you met the needs, dear God, of our hearts and needs of our body. And so, God, we're praying tonight, Lord, that you'd continue to work within our hearts. God, I pray that you'd take the Word of God tonight, Lord, and Lord, that as we are thirsty and hungry, God, that we may be fed and drink. God, that you may give us the nourishment of our spiritual lives. God, that we may grow and we may become increased. And Lord, we might be able to be used by God in these near days. And God, I'm praying tonight, Lord, that you take this thought, dear God, of faith and the Word of God out of Hebrews chapter 11. Father, I guess it'd be called the chapter of faith. And tonight, God, may we make application. God, may we make sure that it's part of our lives. God, that we just don't read about the faith and we don't know of the faith. But God, the faith will be a reality in our lives. We love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, so we're going to finish out the chapter tonight in this verses 33 through verse 40. And I want to preach on a subject tonight. We have been preaching. Oh, I don't know. Somebody was saying 8 months or so, or whatever it may have been. I don't keep up with it on the Hebrew chapter 11 of Hebrews. Tonight, I'm kind of like in a bitter are in a sweet and sour position here. I have really enjoyed chapter 11 of Hebrews and really getting involved and getting in depth and studying it and learning so much about all the ones that God would consider and others that would have faith. And then tonight would be the last message from it. And so it's sort of like, okay, I'm kind of saddened about that. But at the same time, I believe this needs to be the end. And so we will do as the Lord may lead. And so now we're praying, Lord, what do we do now? What's the next book? What's the next subject? What's the next thought? We want to be in obedience to the Lord. We want to do His will. This isn't about me. This isn't about what I want or about what I think that we need tonight. It's about what He wants us to have. And so I take it very seriously. I study, I prepare, I pray. I look into the Scripture very, very in depth. And so I can give to you something each time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that you might be able to feed on, that you might be able to drink of. Now, it might give you strength. It might give you help. It might give you growth. It might help you in your being a parent, being a husband, being a wife, being a citizen, being a church member. And so we want to hit in all areas and all places, and we just don't want to do a certain thing, but we want all the things of the Word of God to be preached. We like line upon line and precept upon precept. So I would ask you tonight to be praying, what would the Lord have for our church in the way of preaching, in the way of the subject, the way of the Word of God, so that we can grow thereby. And I know all of us tonight are in different levels. All of us have been saved different times and different lengths, and even our ages are different. Even our way of life may be some sort of different tonight. But what we all have in common, if you're a Christian tonight, is faith. And that's what brings us together. That's what makes chapter 11 a special chapter. Because every single one of those men and women that are in chapter 11 has been recognized not because of their looks or not because of their education or not because of their wealth or not because of their gender or their race, but they are recognized tonight because of their faith. And so tonight we got to know that faith is most important in our lives tonight. By grace, through faith, are you saved? I mean, the Bible says, we read it just a while ago, without faith it's impossible to please God. Tonight, faith is a very important word. Faith is an important Bible truth tonight, that without that faith tonight, no one's saved. Without that faith, no one is in heaven. Without that faith, no one pleases God. Without faith tonight, no one is called a Christian. So it's not how you live and it's not what you believe. It's the faith tonight that makes you who you are tonight. Now, being a Christian tonight is no soft way of life. Being a Christian tonight is not an easy life. Being a Christian tonight is not something, and I'm going to say it like this because the Bible says not all will believe. And I believe tonight that being a Christian is not for everybody. I believe everybody is called by the Lord to be saved. I believe the whole world, the Bible says that He's not willing that any should perish. He says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We find that in Timothy, the Bible says He'll have all men to be saved. And so I'm not saying in the way that God doesn't want everybody to be saved, but I am saying that at the same time, that not everybody will be saved. And at that saying that, I don't believe that Christianity is for everybody. When I say that, it's because Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is not what you do or what you don't do. Christianity is who you are. Christianity tonight is not what you have learned. Christianity is what you've become. And so tonight, it's completely 100% the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it's the faith of Jesus that you live by after you get saved. It's not even your faith tonight. And so you're going to live the faith of Christ. So tonight, the faith that we're speaking of, the Scripture tonight, of the Word of God, is a faith, and I called it tonight the heroes of the church. The heroes of the church tonight is not the preachers. The heroes of the church tonight is not the leaders. It's not the members. The heroes of the church tonight are not those who give the most or those that are more, seem like to be, have more wisdom than others. And the heroes of the church is not those who just hear all the time. Every time the doors are open, they are here. But the heroes of the church tonight are those that are of faith. It's all boiled down to that. You don't have to be a certain age tonight to have the faith of Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to have a certain color of skin. You don't have to have an amount of education. You don't have to reach the pinnacle of some sort of social success. And to have faith tonight is to the smallest, to the oldest. Tonight, all could have faith. And so we find tonight that faith is the most important truth of God's Word. But being a Christian tonight is not the easiest way of life. It's not the very life that you might think that it is. You might see on the outside, and you might see people who are Christians tonight, and it seems like they have this, they have that, and they do this, they do that. It seems like that it just they have it all together. They have their ducks in a row, and it just seems like their life is in order, and it seems like all things work out for them. It seems like everything just falls in line. But tonight, that's not the Christian life. Does that happen? Sure, it happens. But that's not the Christian life. So what is the Christian life tonight? What is faith tonight? Well, I call this Christian life an adventure. Adventure. When it began for you, when it began for me on the day of your salvation, that faith now has to come to life. That faith now has to become what drives you. That faith is what makes up you. That faith is what at the end of your life that will stand before God. It's the faith tonight that you're going to have to give an account of. So we find in the Scripture tonight all these men and women that are anybody or somebody is mentioned here. There's a lot of people that are not in Hebrews chapter 11 that should have been in Hebrews chapter 11. But Paul wrote Hebrews, but as the writer of Hebrews has said, he said, "But what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell." Then he goes on and talks about these. So there's just not enough time, and there's not enough list that we could put in the Scripture. The Holy Ghost of God has decided not to do that. But tonight, there's a list of many, many people who's not here. But let me say about Christianity tonight, faith. Number one, faith. Power. You see, this life as a Christian is supernatural. This life of the Christian is not flesh. This life as a Christian is not carnal. If you think you can live this Christian life in your own ability and capabilities, you're wrong. You need to get saved. The Christian life tonight is 100% the Holy Ghost. The Christian life tonight is all faith and no flesh. The word faith tonight would bring forth a power in our lives. Look at this in verse 33 as we kind of just go through this quickly. It says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Subdued kingdoms. Do you think tonight that these men or women who subdued kingdoms, who overcome, I called it overcoming greater things. Do you think that these people of faith overcoming greater things than them, there was not a man greater than the kingdom in which he subdued. That kingdom was greater than him. That kingdom was more powerful than him. That kingdom had more men than him. That kingdom had more ability and capabilities of destroying that man or that woman than he had toward them. So what made the difference? What tipped the scale? What brought it uneven? What caused it to be unbalanced was faith. The faith of that man created him to subdue kingdoms. That's what faith does tonight. I'm talking about faith's power. Faith's power can take a kingdom of millions of people, and with faith of God, and it can be overturned. It can be overcome. See, overcoming greater things. Look in verse 33, the Bible says, it says, wrought righteousness and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Now that's overcoming greater things. I don't believe anybody in this room tonight can overcome a stopping of a mouth of a lion. You find a lion coming towards you, you know what you're going to do? You're not going to think about stopping its mouth. You're going to think about running. You're going to think about hiding. You're going to think about getting somewhere where this lion who's coming about, and he's not coming to just kind of pet on you or to be a friend of yours or to ask you to take him home. He is going to come to tear you up or to even kill you maybe. And so we find that this lion tonight, which is a greater thing than man, and Bible says that by faith and through faith, that a man of faith stopped the mouth of a lion. Now that's the power of faith tonight. You can't just stop a lion's mouth tonight. What is going to stop a lion's mouth? Hey, shut your mouth, lion. No, are you? Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, if you come any closer, I'm just going to wring your neck, lion. I mean, that's just not going to work tonight. So what can it in all of the world tonight can stop the mouth of a lion? I know one thing. Faith. Amen? Faith. What can subdue kingdoms? Faith. Number three, I notice a fire. I see that in verse 34. Quench the violence of fire. Tonight, fire will burn every one of us. Tonight, fire, if you stay too long in it, will create a pain and a suffering. Matter of fact, fire will create death in your life. Fire will destroy you, destroy all that it touches. Fire is destroyable and destructible tonight. Now, Fred, there's not anybody in this room in all the world who's ever can combat fire. Can ever come up against fire and say, fire, I'm going to take you on and I'm going to defeat you tonight. I know one thing tonight that can overcome fire. Faith. The power of faith tonight. I noticed tonight a sword there in verse 34. The Bible says, escape the edge of a sword. Tonight, who can escape that sword? Who can escape a sword coming forth, coming at you, a sword or a weapon tonight? What can do that? Not a who can do that, but a what can do that, and that is faith tonight. How about fights in verse 34? The Bible says, wax violent in fight. In other words, that just means that when you was in a battle, when you was in a war, when you was at a time of fighting, whenever you needed to win the battle and win the war, faith always wins. Faith never loses. Faith always comes forth tonight. And we find that faith overcomes greater things, which is the fight. A lot of times tonight, we get in battles and the battle's bigger than us. We get in wars and the wars are bigger than us. We get in arguments and the arguments are bigger than us. We get in contention and with friction and we have spats that are bigger than us. So tonight we find that the faith can handle the fights. We find in verse 34 as well, it says, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. What's going to turn the enemy around? What's going to turn the one tonight who's your adversary? Who's going to turn the heathen and the pagan around? Who's going to send them on flight tonight? Who's going to say, listen to the enemy, listen to the one, the giant in your life, the one that's creating havoc for you, the one that's causing trouble in your life, bringing depression and distress, and you say, you know what? I don't know what to do with this giant in my life. Well, I'll tell you what can be done tonight, and only one thing can handle it, is faith. Faith will turn it around. Faith will cause it to go the other direction. And so we see the power of faith, or faith power tonight, in these scriptures, overcoming greater things. Whatever things are greater in your life as a Christian tonight, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry tonight. If we have the faith of God, you'll find that we can overcome the greater things in life. We can overcome anything and everything that the devil may present. We can overcome everything and anything the world may present to us. We can overcome everything and anything in our flesh may bring to us tonight. So whether it's the devil, the flesh, or the world, faith trumps every single time. Amen? Powers of faith. We find not only overcoming greater things, but I notice that faith's power is overachieving greater things. Not only overcoming, but overachieving. For example, in verse 33, it says, wrought righteousness, he says. In other words, tonight there's a time when you need to do right. A time when only right would work. A time it seems like if you did wrong, it might make it easier for you. If you did wrong, it may make it like lighter for you. If you did wrong, it may kind of calm down the scene. If you did wrong, it may just kind of seem to dispense all the pressures upon you. But you know what you did? You did what was right, even though the consequences of that right. Even though tonight that right has created more trouble for you and caused more suffering for you, but faith overachieving tonight greater things, and that is wrought righteousness tonight. And that's what faith will do. The power of faith. Whenever you think that you can get by with doing wrong, faith will kick in and say, you do right. And that faith will help you go forward. We find that the overachieving, the Bible says, obtain promises in verse 33. Obtain promises. Tonight, that you and I, that faith of overachieving. Sometimes we get down, don't we? But we think about the promises of God. And we obtain. Sometimes we get kind of low. Sometimes we get even depressed. And sometimes we even get to the place of maybe being just a little fainting or maybe a little weary. And boy, we say, boy, I tell you, I'm getting tired and I don't know if I can go on any longer. I don't know if I can handle this anymore. And then the faith of God just kicks in and you obtain the promises that God gave you promises over. And you carry on. You endure. You forbear. You sustain. You remain, you stay, you dwell, you continue, you be steadfast, unmovable. Amen? What causes that tonight? Faith. Faith. Why does people fall out? Why does people fall down? Why does people get out? Why does people quit? Why does people stop? Why does people say, you know what, I had enough of this Christianity. I had enough of this Christ-likeness. I have enough of this way of life. I'm through. I'm done. It's done nothing for me. It's created troubles and problems at home, at work, at family, in churches full of hypocrites. I just don't care anymore. I'm getting out. What causes that tonight? Faithlessness. That's what causes that. Faithlessness. And so we find faith overachieving. We see there in verse 34, the Bible says, out of weakness were made strong. There were greater things in your life and you found that yourself was weakness, and yet God said that's strong. That's faith tonight. You see, people who say that you're weak, they seem to have the strength. Those who say, you know what, you are very weak and anemic, or you're very fragile and you're very this soft. And yet at the same time, that God says, hey, in your very weakness, I became strong. And so tonight we find overachieving. So when we do get weak, and when we do seem to be soft, and when we do seem to be maybe less than what we are, and we have the faith of the Lord, and we're trusting in God, and we're looking for Him to give us answers and strength and courage and boldness, and next thing you know, the strength of the Lord is seen. Because we were in weakness. Faith. I'm not saying you'll never get weak, but I'm saying in your weakness, He can be strong. Number four, the Bible says in verse 35, it says they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. See what it says there in verse 35? It says others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. In other words, tonight, overachieving greater things. They were there at the place of being tortured. And they could have said, time out. Time out. What do you want me to do? You want me to deny Christ? I'll deny Christ. Well, you want me to time out? Time out. What do you want me to do? You want me to say something against the God, the Word of God, against the church? As long as you stop torturing me, I just want to know what you want me to do. Do you want me to recount? Do you want me to deny? Do you want me to say it's false, it's not true? What do you want me to do? As long as you stop torturing me. But the Scripture says what faith will do, the Bible says, is they took on the torturer without deliverance. They say, we're not denying the Lord. We're not going to go against His Word. We're not going to shame our Lord. No, we're not going to bring dishonor upon our church. Whatever torture you have, you bring forth. Overachieving great things tonight. That's what the Scripture is saying. So we see the faith power. Faith power. Do we have that faith tonight? Do we have that faith? Or is our faith tonight some other faith? Faith of something different? Or is it the faith of God? Number two, I notice not only do I find faith power, but I find faith path. Now, this is where people don't understand. Because whenever they usually get saved, the preacher really sells it to them, and the preacher in his selling ways say things that are false. I've heard so many things in my 30-some-odd years of being a Christian, that is so wrong. You know, for example, like a man may come to church and he may be wanting to get saved, and the pastor may say to him, listen, if you get saved, God will put your marriage back together. But that's not true. That's not true. That's not right. If you get saved to the wife, then your husband will stop going out drinking and stop being abusive to you if you get saved. We've heard where if you get saved, you know, then your children are going to stop being rebellious and stop being stubborn. If you get saved, God's going to give you a good paying job. If you get saved, you'll find that God's going to heal your body of cancer. If you get saved, God is going to give you some money and He's going to take care of you financially. But see, all these is not part of salvation. Now, can God do all of that? Absolutely, He can do all that. But it's not in what God can do versus what you get saved with. And so there's a lie involved with that tonight. And in honesty, the path of Christianity or the path of faith is not, I guess you would say, not comfortable. Have y'all found out to be true? It's not where like, anybody and everybody could just live this Christian life and live it to the abundant life that God wants us to live to it. And so you say, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to begin to live godly. So what does the Scripture say about living godly? Those that live godly shall suffer persecution. So the more godlier you get, the more persecuting you'll become. I mean, and so you look at the position here and you say, okay, you know, I'm in this Christian life and I'm getting into this Christian life so that I can have a better life. And Christian life is a better life. I can tell you that on a personal note. I'm going to get a Christian life because I want it to be a more uplifting life. I want it to be more of an encouragement life. And it is. And there's a lot of areas and a lot of ways that it is tonight. And so I would live, if I had to live this life again, I would live the Christian life. If I could do something different in my Christian life, I would get saved not at 25, but I'd get saved at 25 days. I'd get saved earlier. I'd get saved at a younger... I would get saved the first time I could get saved. I want to get saved. And I would want to begin to live this life for Jesus and allow Jesus Christ to live His life through me. And so, it's the greatest life. It's the most wonderful life. But the path of faith tonight is shown in the book of faith. And the hall of fame of faith. And look what it says. The very path of faith is difficult. It's difficult. The Bible says in verse 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings. Mockings. Cruel mockings. Man, if you're going to live for God at any time, somebody's going to make fun of you. If you're going to live at any time for God at anywhere, if you're going to live for God at church, you're going to live for God at home. You're going to live for God at work. You're going to live for God in the public. You're going to find cruelty among people mocking. Amen? That's difficult life. You don't desire to be mocked. It's not fun to be mocked. It's not exciting for people to make fun of you. It's not exciting when you get work and you bow your head to pray and somebody walks by you and say, who are you praying to? Have you ever seen him before? I mean, you come out, walks in, and you don't cussing with them, and you're not telling the dirty jokes with them, and they ask you, hey, man, why don't you go to the beer joint with us tonight? A few other fellas are coming out there. We're just going to have a couple of beers, and we're going to sit around and watch the Astros play, and why don't you come join us? And you say, no, I don't believe I'll do that. I won't be part of that. And they say, what's wrong with you, huh? You're goody-goody two-shoes? I've been told this before when guys telling a dirty joke, and I just start walking away. He said, what you got, some virgin ears? And so tonight, we're just saying that this Christian life is difficult. So don't think that you're going to get in this Christian life and say, it's just going to be skippity-doo-dah. It's going to be difficult. Number two, not only is it difficult, but I notice that the path of faith is going to be very dangerous. The Bible says, discouragings. Discouragings. That means beating with a whip. So to be a Christian tonight, to have faith tonight, is going to be a dangerous way of going. You're going to find that you're going to receive some things that people will do for you or do against you. It may be the whiplashing of a tongue. It may be a whiplashing of a not a promotion. It may be a whiplashing of someone tonight who would lie and bring forth a false accusation that may even get you fired tonight. Or it may be an accusation tonight that you may lose what you had. But it's a dangerous way of going tonight, scourgings. We find tonight that living this Christian life through the faith of God is dangerous. Would you all agree with that tonight? Number three, I notice that it's not only dangerous, but it's depressing. The Bible says, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. And bonds mean they were in prison or in jail. Imprisonment means imprisonment. So you find themselves in a depressed place. You say, how can that apply to us? Well, one day we may have some cruel mockings that we may actually face as they did. And we may have some scourgings going on like they did. But then we might find ourselves in bonds and imprisonment like they did. We felt a little bit of that during this COVID nightmare. Whenever they said it's okay to get beer and to get wine down here at the Spirit's place, but it's not okay to go to the house of God. That's some bonds and imprisonment. They say that it was okay to go down to the parent planthood and abort a baby, but it wasn't okay to come to the house of God. They say it was okay to join up at a beer joint someplace or at some hall somewhere with 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, but you couldn't come to the house of God and be around anybody. They say you have to wear this mask. They say you now have to get vaccinated. Now they're saying that they'll come knocking on your door and ask you about this vaccination. Bonds and imprisonment. Right? Right? Amen. You better get ready. These things are coming our way. And it's all boiling down to the Word of God. It's all boiling down to what God has to say. They hate God. They don't want God. They've already determined in their hearts that God is not part of their platform. God's not part of their party. God's not in what they do, and they're evidently not in their hearts. And so now we find that they're going to be anti-God and anti-Christ and anti-Christian and anti-Bible. And we're going to see that all these things in which they hate and which they're going to come against is going to bring bonds and imprisonments upon us. If you're going to live for God in this 2021 and on today, you're going to find that your faith is going to have to be real great. We're going to find out who's really real in these next few days or next few hours or next few years. We find that not only it's going to be depressing, but we find that it's going to be damaging. The Bible says in verse 37, and they were stoned. There were actually people throwing rocks at them and people throwing metal and glass and brick or whatever it may be, and they were stoned. They were stoned for what? Why were they stoned? For their faith. Why would somebody find a damage? Why would somebody try to damage your family? Damage your name? Damage your church? Damage your home? Damage your work, damage your position, damage your employee and your employer. Damage anything and everything that you're connected to and everything and anything that you are attached with. And if God is involved, damage. They got stoned. We find tonight, not only is it damaging, but we see that this path of faith is discouraging. The Bible says that they were stoned and they were sawn asunder. The word sawn asunder means that they were put in these logs and they were cut in half. Body was cut in half. That's discouraging, don't you? I mean, to know that what was before us tonight, and boy, if you go down to the Reformation, you'll find how many, many, many Christians died on those days, and a lot of them were buried alive in these trenches, and a lot of them were put into hollow logs and cut asunder like that. A lot of them were put on stakes, and some of them were burned on a pole, and you'll find that even during the time of were the Jews and the Holocaust, and many Christians died in that day, and they went through the gas chambers, and they went through just murder and difficult times. And so we find that death tonight, as a Christian, I believe I heard the other day, I read something, 30 million Christians have died. And it's the highest of all religions, if you want to call religion tonight, that has been killed. And you won't find at all anywhere that where you found that the Romans killed the Christians, the Jews killed the Christians. You'll find the Muslims killed the Christians. You'll find the Buddhists killed the Christians. You'll find tonight that the Catholics killed the Christians. You'll find every sect and every religion in history has killed Christians. So we find tonight that this thing about being a Christian, about living by faith tonight, could be sometimes a discouraging path, a difficult path, a dangerous path, a depressed path, a damaging path, a deadly path, a deceptive path. The Bible says in verse 37, they were tempted. So, a deceptive path, a disruptive path. The Bible says that they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins. And so they were about being to the place of being disruptive from their homes. You know, we often think, you know, we often and kind of consider, I know I do, I know that on time to time that I don't preach what this world wants to hear. And a lot of times I don't preach what certain sects of people agree with. And I know that sometime, maybe in the future, I hope not, I'm praying that it's not, that it may be a time where we might find some of the consequences of what's preached from this pulpit. Not only this pastor here finds those consequences, but this church as a whole finds those consequences. And we find tonight that faith is a place of disruption. You're going to find these people had to wander from their homes. They had to wander from their families. They had to wander from their synagogues. They had to wander from their churches. They had to wander from their cities. They had to wander from where they had to stay and where they was comfortable. They had to wander away, so there was a disruptness going on. So being a Christian tonight, sometimes it's disruptive. We find that it's destitute. The Bible says in verse 37, destitute. The word destitute means lacking the basic necessary needs of life. Sometimes you'll find faith will bring you to a place of destitute. Just not having what you need. And it's just not providing what you think that you need. And yet, at the same time, God always will provide. We find that these people, because of faith tonight, they found themselves being distressed. The Bible says afflicted and tormented. We also see that they were divided. In verse 38, it says, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. I mean, they just didn't go out there to the mountains. They went to the deserts too. Then they moved from the deserts and they went down to the caves. And from the caves they went to the dens. And from the dens they went back to the mountains. And you'll find that this wandering was just a complete moving all the time. Transit. Nothing was settled. Nothing was fulfilled. Nothing was just happy. Nothing was just there. I mean, they couldn't relax like we do. And they couldn't just say, okay, here's home and here's church, 215 Brand Lane, every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We just show up here and everything's smooth all the time. But it hasn't always been that way. It may not always be that way. I'm just saying the faith tonight can be a division or dividing. They live separate lives. They live unsettled lives. They live complicated lives because of faith. And tonight, if you know, in the smallest sense of that, we live these kind of lives too, but not to the demeanor where they're at. We're not having to run to the dens and to the caves and to the mountains. We're not having to do all that. But they did. They did. Can I say here thirdly, and we'll close. No, I got to see faith's power and faith's path. But I see faith's pleasure. You say, brother, I mean, after all that, you say there's pleasure in this Christian walk? There's pleasure in this Christian life? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Great pleasure. Unbelievable pleasure. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, no greater than ever. The Bible says in verse there in this verse 39, he says, and these all, I like that. It says these all, that means everybody from 38 all the way to 1. Verse 1, these all. And not only does he include it from chapter 11, verse 1, all the way to verse 38, but every single person who's ever had faith of God in all of the world, these all. These all. What about these all? Well, this is what he says. Having obtained a good report through faith. Having obtained a good report through faith. You know what faith's pleasure is? Is looking for the promise of pleasing God. Looking for the promise of pleasing God. No matter what day we have, no matter what week we find, no matter what month we do, no matter what year we face, all these people, all of these, they found a good report. In other words, as they lived for God and as they were going through these troubles and as they were going through these good times and bad times and they were going through life as a Christian, going through life with the faith of God, always in the back of their mind and heart is, I want to have obtain a good report. I want to obtain a good report. I want God to know that I am going to gain a good report, so I'm looking for the promises of God. I'm not only looking for the promises of God, but I am living by the promises of God. That's why I'm living the Christian life, because of the promises of God. I'm looking for them, but I'm living what I'm living because of the promises of God. See, all the things that I may have to face on this side, all the troubles that I may have to go through on this side, all the pain and suffering and all the mockery and all the scourging and all the dens and caves and mountains and all the things that you and I may have to suffer, let go, not be part of, not have, not do, not participate, not have part of our lives. We cut them off when we got saved. We set them off. No longer do we do that. No longer we have that. No longer do we want it. But all of that set to the side tonight. We're living how we're living because of the faith of God that's within us tonight, because we're living for the promises of God. Amen. So tonight, any one of us who does have the faith of God, you could say, yeah, you know, I believe I could really have been a millionaire. I could have really had a business and I could have really been successful in that business. And oh yeah, you know, I could have done this and I could have done that and I could have had this. And you know what? I could have been all these things and this, but you know what? I wouldn't trade it for the world tonight, because I'm living for God, waiting on the promises of God. It's a pleasure. See, faith brings pleasure. That the world, no matter what they say, no matter what the flesh does, no matter what hell could bring, no matter what Satan could cause tonight, friend, listen, it's a pleasure for living for God by faith. Living for the promises. But you know what? I want to do? I know what you want to do, of people of faith. Is I want to make sure that I got a good report. A good report. And not only comes through faith. A good report. Because who's looking at the report? God. A good report. I don't want to leave out of here in a bad report. Do you? I don't want to leave out of here in an evil report. I want to make sure that all these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but they were looking for the promise. They received not the promise, but they were living for the promise. And then thirdly tonight, faith's pleasure is leaving, in other words, dying, passing away, going off with the promise. In other words, tonight it's one thing to look for the promise of God that we haven't received, but boy, I'm telling you, I'm looking for it. And boy, then my faith is causing me to do that. But it's another thing to live for the promise, and my faith is causing me to live a certain way of life. But it's another thought tonight to leave. Now, all of us are going to die. All of us tonight, the Lord tarries, will find ourselves one day, someday, in a grave. But how do you leave? Do you leave having a good report? Right? That's how you want to leave. You don't want to leave in a bad report. You want to leave in a good report. So that means every single day there is a great incentive. There's a great, a boost. There is a way of living. You don't say, "Oh, poor prayer for me," or, "You know what, I'm just so beat up. Or, you know, I don't know about life anymore. I don't want to live anymore. I'm just done with all this stuff. Lord, just take me on home." That's not a one who's living by faith. I didn't see anywhere in the Scripture, did y'all, of anybody of these faith who ever made those kind of comments before. I've always seen those looking for the builder and maker of city, or the God, or the one who's always looking forward, the one of faith is always looking above and beyond, and looking above and where we can, not in this now, but above. Amen? And so we find tonight that we as a people of faith leaving with the promise of God. When we die, we're leaving with that promise. We haven't given up on it. We haven't took it away. We haven't said it's not going to happen. We're going to leave with it. And so we find tonight leaving with the promise of God. To do what? Well, that word report means a testimony. So when we leave, having a testimony of being faithful. You see? That's what living by faith means tonight, is when you do leave, you'll have a testimony saying, "Hey, they're faithful." There's no greater word to describe your life at death than faithful. Faithful. There's none. She's a good cook. She's a good wife. She's a good mother. Excellent, excellent father. Boy, he showed me how to shoot the gun, showed me how to turn a wrench. I mean, you know, he worked real hard. And boy, Mom, I tell you what, she'd keep things in order. And you come all these attributes and all these qualities and all these things for all these people. And I hear it all the time when we go to funerals. Whenever you go to a funeral, just listen. And you hear about 100 things that these people do or have done. But I promise you, you won't hear very often. And I've been to hundreds of funerals. You don't hear very often they were faithful. You don't hear that. Have y'all? No. Faithful. Tonight, when you leave, I'm talking about when you die, if you have faith, you'll find that I'll be leaving with the promise. The promise I haven't received yet. But man, I'm going to tell you something. I was faithful. Record means testimony. Number two, that word record there, it means witness. So not only were you a testimony to yourself that you're faithful, but you'll be a witness to others. The word record means witness. So as you live your life as a Christian, they will witness the faith. So when you leave, they'll have witnesses say, "Hey, listen, I know they're faithful." How do you know? Somebody told you? No. I seen it. I watched it. I lived in the home they lived in. I went to the church they went to. I've worked with them. I've been out in the public with them. I've made trips with them. I've been around them. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one thing about them. They were faithful. I'm telling you tonight, that's pleasure. That's real pleasure. Tonight, can I say that word record means tonight? It means just record to God. God's keeping records. God has the record. I obtained a good record. I obtained a good, yeah, I know I was scourged, but I obtained a good record. Oh, yeah, I know it was cruel mockings, but I know I was sown asunder, but, and I was even killed by a sword. Oh, I know that I was afflicted and I was tormented. And I know I wandered around in sheepskins and goatskins because that's all I had to wear. Oh, I know that I went from den to mountains to caves. And I know, boy, it was a horrible time. But at the end of the story, at the end of my life, God had a record that I was faithful. Even in all that. Amen? Faithful. I could say, boy, what pleasure that is. And then lastly tonight, faith perception. Faith perception. That verse 40 says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Two things that God says right there that I believe is the most important verse in this chapter. The most important. Two things. He says this. This is God's will for my life. He says in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us. Whatever you face, whatever you have to endure, whatever you have to go through, God provided you something better. That's just the will of God. That's just how it is. And when you die, God's provided you something better. And while you lived here, you could have went another direction. You could have had another husband, or you could have lived in another city, or you could live and have another job, or you go to a different church, or all kind of other scenarios. And you're thinking, boy, if I could have this, have this, have that, my life would have been better. But God says to you, you had the best life. Because when you got saved, this was the will for your life. I had something better for you. See, if you didn't get saved, do you think it would have been better? You say, oh, yeah. God said, oh, no, it would have been worse. But all this that you went through, all of this that you had to deal with, all these burdens, all these cares, all this pain, all this suffering, all these difficulties, and God said, I had something better for you. Isn't that something? Well, we're thinking if we made some better choices earlier with God that we could have had a better life. God said, it had been a worse life. My second thought is this, and I know I got to hurry. Is that last portion, boy, it's important. He says this. He says, not only this is God's will, but this is God's work. He said that they without us, should not be made perfect. You know what he's saying there? He's saying this. He said, in this generation, in the Hebrews chapter 11 generation, if they didn't go through what they went through, if they didn't face what they had to face, if they didn't go through all that list that we brought forth, and they didn't have that power to overcome wrought them righteousness and overcome that overcome the things that they had to come, like a kingdom and a lion and a sword and a fire and those kind of things, and then going through and you see how all of it was dividing and depressing and all of those things that brought a damaging and hurt and pain and suffering. If they didn't go through all of that, that generation didn't do that. Then this generation, our generation, wouldn't be where we're at. You think we have a church tonight because they didn't go through that? Oh, no. No. Because they went through all of that. Today we have a church. We have a Bible. We have preaching. Don't ever think tonight that we have a church and we have preaching and we have a Bible and we have liberty and we have freedom because those past generations didn't make a difference. Oh, you're wrong. Verse 40 tells it all. Because, let's look at it again with that thought, since you know what the thought is. He says, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us. See, without that generation of chapter 11, we wouldn't have the generation we have. Then let's look at it like this. The next generation, if we don't live by faith and we don't serve God and we don't do what's right, that next generation won't have anything that we have. That generation, Hebrews 11, God said because of them, we've got what we have. And because of us, they'll have what they have. Amen? Faith tonight. Faith. Adventure. The Bible says that they should not be made perfect. In other words, the church cannot be made whole, and it cannot be complete without that generation, without this generation, and without the next generation before Jesus comes. It's going to take all of Hebrews chapter 11 to bring a perfection, a completion. Amen? Boy, I thank you, Lord. Boy, God's Word is good. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I pray that you've enjoyed this series on faith and what does faith look like. Tonight, it may have enriched your life. It may have helped you. It has brought you closer to the Lord. Tonight, we thank the Lord for Hebrews chapter 11. We thank you, Lord. We praise you for it. If you feel like praying tonight, you come and we'll pray. Let's give the Lord praise tonight for the faith that He has given us.
Not for mercy cry.